How are you?
I'm excellent, considering it's a little rainy. I have, what's it called, Matty T?
Post-nasal drip?
No, I have that too, but no, the disorder with the weather, the seasonal
depression?
Yeah, like
are you all right, Bob?
I get depressed when the weather's bad.
You have gloomy day syndrome.
Gloomy day syndrome. I got GDS. Yeah.
I think there's a song called Gloomy Day Syndrome.
Yeah, rainy days.
Mondays.
Rainy days and Mondays always get me down, but you know what? Tuesdays are usually pretty good.
It's a matter of perspective, guys. It's just how you look at it.
Yeah.
Scott's just washing away all the dirt in this world.
Oh, buddy. He better give us a Noah's Ark experience then. There's a lot of dirt that needs to be scrubbed away.
Man.
Jim, we played a clip from Ned Yost who says it's going to be way more better to be at home today, and that's a good point. I did see an interesting statistic that I thought you would appreciate. Tonight, of course, a hard thrower goes for Kansas City. Ventura's on the mound tonight. This is interesting. Since 2008, the teams with the highest number of 100-mile-per-hour plus pitches in a single postseason, Kansas City leads the way with 34. The next closest is the 2010 Cincinnati Reds with 12. They have thrown 34 pitches in the postseason that were 100 miles an hour or faster. Is that remarkable?
That is pretty interesting.
That's a lot, considering it's, I mean, the next closest in the last 6 years has been 12 by the Reds in 2010. That's pretty amazing. Now, it hasn't done them a whole heck of a lot of good, but Herrera's thrown 22, and we expect to see him tonight if the game is not completely out of whack by the time they get to the 6th or 7th. They are expecting to be potentially use all their relievers if they need to. I mean, hey, look, just getting to a Game 7 would be exciting. We are going to hear from, just a minute here, Bruce Bochy on what he thinks Bumgarner's availability is, if at all, for tonight. So, Pat and I agree, I guess. I'm rooting for Joe Klein because he's a big Royals fan. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, and you look at the ratings, this has not been the most compelling World Series, and it's not being watched very heavily right now.
No, I mean, it's smaller markets. I mean, as they say, and it doesn't have those teams that tend to, you know, get the viewers in all the other areas where their teams aren't playing, obviously. The Yankees, even the Cardinals tend to, you know, draw pretty well as a viewing team around the country. The Dodgers, I think it's kind of like the Astros and the White Sox. That one was really pretty lowly watched. Tigers and the Giants weren't very, wasn't a highly viewed series either, but, I mean, it is, say that. It is what it is.
Yeah.
I hate using that.
Sometimes it is what it is, though.
But sometimes you got to use it is what it is. These are the teams that are there. And the people who aren't watching are missing a, you know, pretty good show with some rising stars. You've seen this Joe Panic guy, perfect name, you know. Guy's name's going to be remembered longer than he is. You know, kind of blossom as a second baseman. You've got these young guys for the Royals that we've seen actually come through town as a part of the Nationals when they play the Travelers. I saw Hosmer, Moustakas, all those guys, Alex Gordon. You know, they've all kind of, kind of grown up around us. So I would guess the ratings are pretty good in Northwest Arkansas and parts of Arkansas.
Yeah, probably true.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people around here are interested in it. My next door neighbor, Vince Schallenberg, who's been in business with Joe, you know, they're big Royals fans, and I'm hoping for them too that they, you know, win, but I don't know. It's not the Cardinals. It's a real downer. It's been a real downer for me.
Yeah.
Since Sunday night, anyway. So.
Interesting stat here. Speaking of Sunday night, this was tweeted out by NBC Sports. Sunday night football's 39% advantage in overnight households versus the Royals and Giants is the largest margin in 5 head-to-head Sunday night football telecasts versus the World Series. So it's this just in, football is way more popular than in anything else.
Well, yeah,
and you have the Saints
I mean,
and the Packers playing.
You have the Saints and the Packers, and the Saints have a lot of, you know, good following. The Packers obviously have a long-time good following. Football has a big following more than baseball. Baseball, I mean, I love baseball, as you know, but, man, it can get really slow in these postseason games. I mean, these guys can stand there on the pitching mound and just, it's like trying to watch Furyk putt. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, hit the ball, please. Pitch the ball, you know? Just throw it.
That's funny.
And throw it 100 miles an hour. Throw the ball.
I'm with you. got to speed up the game.
It's
a recurring issue.
That's just my comment on it. It's slow.
Can you remember a guy being as dominant as Bumgarner? And if so, who?
Bob Gibson was pretty dominant. That was a long, long time ago. In recent times, I think, is that kid's name, Josh Beckett? He was really dominant for the Marlins in that series. I think it was the Marlins, wasn't it?
That's correct, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Randy Johnson was pretty dominant. He and Schilling both were sort of the 1-2 dominant punch, and then it was a matter of hoping you didn't try out that. What was that poor kid's name, the Asian relief pitcher that every time the Diamondbacks put him out there, he gave up a big home run to the Yankees. Remember that?
I don't recall that, but yeah, I assume if he hadn't done that, I probably would remember his name. I will say this about Johnson in the postseason. Mm-hmm. That year where he pitched, I think he started two or three games, and he also pitched in relief in another. I mean, that was one of the most freakish
Pedro did that before. Few guys can do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Pedro pitched a bunch of innings and then threw Don Zimmer to the ground. He's amazing.
Punched an old man right in the head.
Yeah. Well, his head's easy to hit. God rest his soul.
So, but, I mean, for this series, I mean, Bumgarner's head and shoulders the class on the mound. And, I mean, he's throwing like, he is so dominant. He could come back and pitch probably, because there's no, if they do go to seventh game, there's not going to, you can trot out there. You're not going to have to go again for another 2 months if you want to. And as far as the Royals, they got to throw the old proverbial kitchen sink at them. They just can't lose. They can't play for tomorrow's game. They just got to play like this is the last one. And it's something, I think the Cardinals were guilty of doing that. It's almost like of not playing a game against the Giants like there wasn't another game. You know what I mean? It's almost like every game, you've got to take that opportunity and play it like it's the deciding game. I think there was one involving the Cardinals and the Giants that I thought Matheny might have kind of let it get away.
A couple of things about this. Bumgarner in the World Series history, he has the lowest ERA, 0.29. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. My man Phil Ellison says Byung-Young Kim is the reliever we were looking for.
Yeah, there you go.
And he pitched 117 pitches the other night. He said that I'm not a big pitch count guy, so as long as you keep getting outs and you feel good, you should stay out there. So he thinks he can come back. Here's Bruce Bochy talking about Bumgarner being available in the next couple of games.
He's going to say, hey, if you need me at any point tomorrow, please use me. He's done that before. He really bounces back well, and, we wouldn't, ask him to do a lot. But, if I need to get an out or something, I'm sure he'll say he's available.
Yeah, and that clip is from, of course, yesterday, meaning Bumgarner believes he's available today and said as much to the media. So he believes that he could go as early as today. So he says, I expect Jake Peavy to throw a shutout. That's what I expect, and we'll be ready for anything. So, but he believes he can go in Game 6 and Game 7 if he needed to be used.
That kind of sounds like the typical college Florida girl, right, Pat? I'm available, just use me.
I was thinking more like Tony Romo, who came back in last night and said, I need to be back in there. I'm good to go.
That was stupid. That was so dumb. Oh, man. It was probably stupid of me just to say what I said, but it was really dumb for him to go back in. I mean, at some point.
On his part or their part to let him go?
What?
On his part to try to get back in or their part to let him go?
For their part, to put him back in there. They were way better off probably with Weedy.
I thought so too, but it's hard to argue against it just because he's a proven commodity.
He is a proven commodity, but his back contusion or whatever, and he's the one, and I guess Jerry was down there on the sidelines for a minute. There's some great photos of him. It looks like he's selling
Garrett.
The automating head coach they've got to play Rome, put Romo back in or something. Then he's back up in his spot. Wow, that was a weird finish. That was a weird game.
It was a weird game.
So, but if you're Garrett and Tony Romo is telling you he feels fine and he wants to go back in, you don't put him back in?
No, and it was a different injury, but Darren McFadden was begging to go back in the game at Alabama in 2007. But they said, no, we're going to follow concussion protocol here and not put you in, and they lost the game. But we're talking about the Razorbacks. But, no, I mean, he was totally ineffective. Anyway, I mean, it proved out that he was – they were going to bring the house on him. He wasn't Tony Romo at peak performance at that part. He's Tony Romo trying to make another great play, be the hero without the
Well, that's Tony Romo with or without a contusion in his back. I would just look at it as Jason Garrett and Romo had been through so many situations, end-of-game scenarios. If you're Garrett, you want to have a guy that you see eye-to-eye with and you know exactly both you guys are on the same page. That would be my deal. If I'm Garrett, that's
so
what I would like to
have. Walking, it's okay. Is that what
well, he didn't. The thing is, I was looking at him. He didn't wince. It wasn't like he was walking and holding his back, a situation like that. I think if that was the case, Garrett, everybody else should have pulled him off the field. I just think his mind and his approach at that time in the game, you're probably going to have a better chance. Well, you would think it is Romo still, and you know something crazy is going to happen. But if you Garrett, that's who I would want in there.
Tell me this: were you the least bit surprised when he gets hit and drops the ball on the 4-yard line?
No, I was more surprised that he didn't throw a pick at the end of the game. Actually,
he almost did that.
Yes, I mean, and that's
the ball
what I
goes right
twice.
Through that Breedling, whatever his name is, that guy's mm-hmm. really good.
Mm-hmm.
He made a great. But the ball just seemed to go right through his hands to the receivers for the Cowboy first down. But it didn't matter in overtime.
I guess I would like to be able to look at it and blame it on a back injury, but I just can't roll.
See, I'm just looking at it this way. I'm not second-guessing, although you're hearing me now, and it sounds like I'm second-guessing. But I'm saying it before it happened. I mean, you're not there to hear me.
I'll take your word for it. I believe you.
But I'm saying, why are they putting him back out there? I think they would have been better off with Whedon. I really do, at least in the overtime.
Yeah, well, I mean, my thing is they should have handed off regardless of who the quarterback was.
Well, they would have if Whedon had been in there.
That's exactly what I said.
Instead, they got Tony Romo who's going to fling it. Tony Romo and Jim Chaney ought to hang out together.
Boy. Good transition, Jim. Let's segue right into that then. What are your thoughts on Arkansas and how did you feel any better, worse, or any different at all after the UAB game?
I liked their approach. I liked everything about the way they played that game, except special teams. That was a disaster. But it's a good thing it was last week because it didn't cost them. It would cost them in any of these next four games. But they're able now to know that it's an era that needed their undivided attention this week in practice, so they'll get it. As far as Chaney, I mean, I'm not one of these guys, and I wrote a column last week saying, let's lay off pointing fingers at Chaney being the reason that they're, you know, four losses. I mean, I don't think he could have picked a different play out of the hat in, you know, three or four of those games and Arkansas all of a sudden be 8-0. I just think that it's execution, and it's the players they have, or the lack of players they have. And I'll tell you, the commitment they got of Petway to go with K.J. Hill and having Bragg coming aboard. And I understand they're still after a very fast receiver out of Florida. So, I mean, they could have the kind of weapons that would stretch the field. And all of a sudden, Jim Chaney's play calls would look, you know, like he's, you know, a wizard like Petrino did when he had.
Yeah. Well, for example, look at Matty Mock this year, Jim, without DGB at his disposal.
Exactly.
I mean, he's a 52% passer.
Yeah.
Is he that much more
terrible,
horrible? Yeah.
But it was the players that made him look good. I do think, though, that these fans who say, well, he abandoned the run too fast or that, well, he's probably going to do it this weekend. And the reason's going to be is because this front seven that has a lot of depth to it from Mississippi State is going to force Arkansas to have to throw the ball, too. And Kentucky did it, and Kentucky threw it pretty well. Patrick Toles threw for over 400 yards. I think he's probably a better passer than Allen is, than Brandon Allen. I think the weapons are kind of similar. Kentucky may have a little bit more talent there, but you know, Arkansas's got the better running backs, but you just can't keep running into an eight-man wall all time, all game. And I'm certain they're also going to get press coverage. Did you catch the quote from the UAB coach, Bill Clark, after the game where he said he made a mistake? He should have gone press coverage from the start and not at halftime. I mean, it's a big factor. I mean, Brandon Allen and the receivers are not near as effective if the opposing cornerbacks are, you know, causing them problems at the line of scrimmage. And in the second half, Brandon Allen was 2 of 7. I mean, they also were leading 35-0, and he didn't have to force a ball in to a receiver. He could throw it short or throw it where only his guy would make the catch or nobody would make it. It was pointless to force something in there and turn the momentum around and maybe, you know, all of a sudden have a game. Kind of like what Georgia faced against Arkansas. They didn't really try to force anything against Arkansas in the second half and give Arkansas, you know, an easy score or a chance to get back in the game. But I'm just saying they're going to have to pass the ball this weekend. They're going to have to pass it.
Yeah, something I'd like to see more often is happen more often is them targeting the backs out of the backfield. And Jeremy Williams is, Jonathan Williams, rather, 10 catches on the season. His longest is 17 yards. This is a guy that we have seen that can get vertical. You know, we've seen him run big wheel routes and make big plays downfield before. Alex Collins has 3 catches, guys. 3 catches on the season.
Yeah, he had a few more last year. I'm not sure why.
I don't know what his longest catch is 5 yards, Jim. 5 yards.
And something that maybe is not noticed too much by the fans until you compare him to other quarterbacks who throw the backs out of the backfield is I'm not sure that's Brandon Allen's best throw. I don't think he handles that short throw for some reason with the same effectiveness as maybe throwing one 12, 15 yards down the field. Does that make sense? I mean, it seems like it there's a little bit of a too soft approach to it. Maybe the timing is off. The timing was off on that sort of, you know, throwback screen pass they were looking at running the other day. It was just kind of floats over there. It's just not his strength.
Yeah.
They don't practice a whole lot of. I mean, that's the other thing. You've only got 2 hours to practice every day or so, 2 to 2.5 hours, and everybody wants all these plays put in.
Yeah.
But you can't be effective running all these plays with that amount of time they have to practice.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. If you had to bet Scott's college fund, how many games do you think Arkansas wins before the end of the season?
That's how wild I wouldn't bet it. Assuming all things equal, nothing happens to Brandon Allen, I think they're going to win 2 of these last 4 games.
You do? Okay, I like that. That's very optimistic by most people's standards right now. So I hope you're right. I hope you're right. That would be a lot of fun. I want to go to a bowl game. I like bowl games.
You know, there's a dreamer in me that thinks that they could win out. But then there's another part of me that thinks this staff and this team has left so many other games on the table, the 2 at the end of last season, and then you look at the 2 this season. In hindsight, you're saying, God, how did they let those 2 games get away? Those were their chances to be a bowl team. And it makes me think, well, you just don't want to bet Scott's college fund on a staff and a team that doesn't fully believe they can close the game in the SEC.
Right.
Until they do one, they're not going to do any.
True.
If that makes any sense. You know, until they break through that first one, they're still going to be all tight and bothered here in the fourth quarter trying to hang on.
I agree with you. I will say this. That person that's talking to you inside, Jim, is not a dreamer. That's the crackhead. You need to get him to rehab immediately because there's no way they're going to win all 4. I would be thrilled with 2. I'd actually be okay with 1, which is what I predicted before the season. And we talked about it, and I got to credit my guys on the morning show today. They actually said something that I'm going to recount to everyone else. They said, and I think it was a caller that pointed out, but he said, we talked about it a significant amount of time before the season. They could be a lot better and not win a lot more games.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're seeing right now.
Well, we all kind of said that they would still struggle.
But once we see that they're close enough, we want them to win. We assume they're going to win, and we get disappointed when they don't. But it's like that's who they are right now. And like you said, once they break through, maybe things change. But until then, they're just a team that's going to get nervous and tight and maybe blow it at the end of a game when they're in position. So.
And the worst thing for fans to do is start pointing fingers at the coaching calls and this, that, and the other. When this team is what it's the Dennis Green quote, you can pull it up again, Maddie can play it, whatever, that we are what we thought we were.
Right, right.
I mean, and until they believe it between the ears, they're still not going to break through in an SEC game. Isn't it funny? I know you got to let me go, but I just want to finish up by saying, isn't it funny how much things change in this league almost week to week? A couple of weeks ago, I would bet you everybody would have said, well, at least we're going to handle LSU, but I don't see any way we can beat Ole Miss. And then if you watch that LSU-Ole Miss game, it's almost like flipped completely. It's like, man, LSU's going to be a tough out, but I can see it's beating Ole Miss. I mean, you know, just how it changes week to week. And
yeah, I can't dream up a scenario where Arkansas wins this week, but I can definitely see in the last three games they're going to be competitive and have a chance. Just because Ole Miss won't score a lot, even against Arkansas's defense. LSU is not dynamic offensively. They're a good running team. They do have a threat at quarterback to run, not a great thrower, but their running game is seemingly sort of gaining some traction. We know they're going to be physical and athletic defensively if they're not the most cohesive bunch in LSU history. And Missouri, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Missouri hasn't had any really good wins, and they stink. I mean, but that doesn't mean they won't win on their home field. So, anyway, it is what it is.
As Jim said earlier, it's a talent thing, and Arkansas's getting closer. And
no matter what happens, I'm going to watch closely the last few weeks, and I'm going to enjoy watching them try to break through. I mean, that's me. And you know what? There are other teams like that. I feel the same way about Tennessee. They're fun to watch every week. They're competitive. They're well coached. They do a lot of things right. They just haven't broken through yet. Now they will. I mean, I'll be shocked they don't knock off Vanderbilt later in the year. Who else is there that's not?
Yeah, they get Vanderbilt. Arkansas doesn't. See, there's one. You know, Arkansas hadn't at least or hasn't gotten the every team.
Oh, Kentucky. Yeah.
Basically been in the top 10.
Yeah, Kentucky will knock off Vanderbilt too. That's the thing. That's the only gimme in the league, and they will both get them. So, but yeah, it's fun. I mean, look, these teams are good enough, and I'm shocked. I mean, I think Kentucky's the real surprise, even though their record's not. You know, it's better than Arkansas, obviously, but it's not gaudy. But, I mean, they're the team that, to me, is so improved. I never thought he could get them playing at this level. So, I was wrong.
No, because they're pretty young. I'm surprised that, too. Arkansas is going to have to get some turnovers. That statistic is sort of flipped in the last 3 weeks, and Arkansas really needs to not turn it over and maybe get a couple from Mississippi State. Then they're in that ball game.
Question about it. Yeah, I mean, and the thing is about Kentucky, going back to them, they could have another win. I mean, they lost that Florida game at the end. I mean, and they may or may not have gotten screwed over on a call at the end there. So, I mean, they could have three SEC wins. Would it be three? Yeah, because they lost to LSU handily, and they lost to Mississippi State. I mean, they were competitive by two touchdowns last week. So, but, I mean, Missouri, they could win. I mean, Tennessee, they could win. So they've got a couple left on the calendar they could pull off. I mean, I think they're going to get bowl eligible. I would be surprised if they didn't somewhere. They got Louisville, too. That's kind of a tough non-conference game at the end. They usually play that game early.
Yeah, they flip that thing around where they'll end with a non-conference rival, just like Georgia, who I think is going to win the East. And, you know, I think Mississippi State, if they go to Tuscaloosa and pull that off, they've proven to me that they're really deserving. I'm still kind of a – show me what you really are. I'm not really sold on them defensively, complete defensively. I mean, but they have the offense that, like Auburn did in 2010, to maybe overcome any of that deficiency.
Hey, Jim, before we let you go, who's in your Final Four? Or who's in the Final Four right now, today? Who do you think gets in and who should be?
I would say Alabama, Florida State, Mississippi State, being based where they're ranked, and
Oregon or Florida State? Oregon or not Florida State? Oregon, Auburn, or Michigan State?
I think I'm going Oregon. Head to head, I mean, they beat Michigan State. I know it was out there. I mean, they had the advantage of the home field, but I think I would go with Oregon at this moment in time. But See, that's why they should never have invented a four-team playoff that involved five power conferences.
Yeah, good point. Somebody's going to be mad.
It's just really convoluted. And I would have to think they'll break that up and make it an 18 thing here within. I know they have a 12-year contract, and contracts were made to be rewritten.
Well, it would be fun to me to have an outside shot at a team like a Marshall if they'd played a couple of good Power 5 conference teams and happened to have a great year and won those games to get in, or Boise or whoever it happened to be. Maybe Arkansas State even in a given year. But if they went undefeated in their league and they beat a couple of Power 5 teams, they could sneak in as the 8 seed. That would be cool. You have no chance of that right now. So,
And
that would definitely add some drama.
I think they don't want an 18 thing for several reasons, but I think one is the whole kind of the crapshoot of it. That, you know, a non-power team could have a lucky 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. It's going to be fun. I'm excited about what they say tonight, although I'm not going to watch it. I'm going to be watching the World Series, but I will definitely be
Jim, what are you excited about, Bob? You got World Series, NBA opening night, the Boz 30 for 30, the college football playoff committee unveiling their teams, or bed?
I like that one.
What are you looking forward to the most?
Bed.
Oh, Jim.
One of those days, man.
You old son of a gun.
If it's raining like this tonight, it's World Series in bed.
Yep, Jim, I got a question for you.
I'll be right next to you.
On a rainy day like today, do you still wear your Nike sunglasses around town?
That's all I've got to see. That's the problem. I would love to have a second pair of glasses, but right now all that's going to Scott's college fund because I gambled it away, you know?
Attaboy.
Hey, Jim.
Yeah.
The swoosh is always cool, my friend.
You look really cool, Jim.
Go Nike all the time.
Well, it does look cool on the golf course. That's what I bought them for, and they ended up just being the all-purpose shade.
Yes. But I love to be able to see my ball over in the woods.
That's your thing. That's his thing.
Yeah, it's his look.
You know, some guys
it's like Joe Madden. You and Joe Madden have your look.
I was really interested to see that they're having a red-white game in Bologna. Basketball.
Yeah.
I didn't know that they could play away from home. Is that?
Well, it's an open practice. They're actually driving up, bussing up Sunday morning.
They had to get a waiver, right?
Open practice. Yeah, I got a waiver.
Okay, so you can now get a waiver to have a practice.
Yeah, if it's a fundraiser for tornado victims, the NCAA, cold-hearted bastages that they are, even they had to turn a blind eye to this one.
But really, you know, this is extremely unique, and it was something where the guys and Coach Anderson came up with this. It was really initiated from within the locker room. As a few of the guys went when the tornadoes hit back in the spring, a few of the guys went down. So it is you have to bring a non-perishable food item, though, Jimmy. You can't get in, Bob.
That's a heck of a deal.
I will bring one. I think we should all go up there. If you're not out in the duck woods hunting with a ute, deer hunting weekend. If you're not in the woods, let's go watch the hogs.
Hey, Jim, one second. David in Hot Springs has a Rafe Peavy question, so let me get him real quick,
sir.
And then we're going to have to take a break. Go ahead, David.
Hey, Justin, thanks for taking my call. Just a quick question. I'm a high school tennis coach, but I'm not familiar with ins and outs on the legalities. If Rafe were to play one down this year, is he redshirted? Is he burned? Or how does that work?
He'd be burned now. He could have probably. I can tell you in the Tyler Wilson instance, he played early in his first year and then came down with a case of mononucleosis, so to speak. And he only played less than a quarter of the season and was able to get that season
back.
Red-shirted. If he played one game this late in the year, even one play, his year would be burnt.
Okay, so we will not see him this year.
I think it's highly unlikely unless Austin Allen gets kidnapped and Brandon gets down with an injury.
Okay. If something happened to both Allen, I'll play the AK Derby like quarterback.
David, I'm going to have to let you go. You're dinging in the background there. But, that's the deal. So you're not going to see Ray Peavy. We'll take a timeout. Jim, I appreciate it. Good stuff. We got to a lot of spots today.
If you want to hear Mike Anderson, he's probably going to be on with us on Thursday too, Jim.
So I like Mike Anderson.
Thank
he's a great
you.
Man.